First Peter chapter 4. I'm skipping a little bit ahead from our study because I don't want to preach right over Patrick's text. So we're going to jump ahead to chapter 4 for a very specific purpose. I'm going to be speaking on verse 10 in particular, but I wanted to begin reading at chapter 4, verse 1, and read through verse 11 so you get a little bit of the context. Let's read the Word of God together. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time is past, or for the time that is past, suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality and passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking party, and the lawless idolatry. With respect to these, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who were dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And just verse 10 again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word, and we ask that you would write it upon our hearts and minds, that we would become a living expression of your word. As we receive your word, as we mix it with faith, as we trust the Lord Jesus Christ to transform us, we become living epistles of grace. So we pray, Lord, that you would do that work in us, that we together, that we as individuals would manifest the Spirit of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a book on marriage that has a really interesting title. It's called Woman, Man's Completion. I thought that was a really good way to put it, because when God looked out on his perfect creation, he saw Adam alone. And he said, this isn't good. So I will make a helper suitable to him. I will make one who is his equal, so that together they can do great things. And we have it in the first chapter of Genesis, what they were able to do. They were able together to do great things. Together they were to rule over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Together they were to fill the earth with a godly seed and to subdue it for the glory of God. Together they were to live for the glory of God. And the two of them together could do that. And I think it's similar to the way it is in a marriage, the way it is in a church. We are not complete without our brothers and sisters around us. We need them, and they need us. And together, we can do great things. We don't have every gift that the church requires. We as individuals, we don't have every gift. We have some gifts, but the puzzle isn't complete without all of the gifts in the church manifesting themselves. We need one another in the body of Christ. We complement one another in the body of Christ with our God-given gifts. And together, we can do great things. Together, we can do great things. Do you believe that? Together, as we manifest the Spirit that was given us in the form of gifts, as we manifest those gifts, as we do it for the glory of God. Together, we have all the gifts, and we can do great things. So why are we talking about spiritual gifts? I sort of skipped ahead, and I normally don't do this, but I did it this time, and I did it for a very specific purpose. We are beginning these new ministry teams next month, actually. And this new ministry team concept, it really requires gifted, fitted ministers, those who are manifesting the Spirit of God in their giftedness. We are trying to take a large load from a few people and spread the load upon everyone. We're expecting a little service from many and no longer a great service from a few. But this isn't just me looking at the church as it is and suggesting some changes. That's why we're preaching on 1 Peter 4:10. This is the way God has designed the church. How has he designed the church? As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is really a biblical model for gifted, fitted spiritual service. Everyone has a gift from the Spirit of God. Look at the verse again. As each has received a gift, we are to use it for the glory of God. But let me give you a little bit of the context before we dig deeper into the text. Peter is speaking of suffering for doing good at the end of verse 3, but then in the beginning of verse chapter 4, we are to have the attitude of Christ as we walk through life and not live for ourselves anymore. We must put off the old sinful ways and even the old past sinful friendships because we are now in Christ. We now live knowing that we must give an account to God. So we should have a clear focus because we live, what he says, is in the last days. The end is near and we are stewards of the grace of God. So we should love one another. And we should open our homes to one another. And we should use our gifts and abilities to help one another, whether they are speaking gifts or whether they are serving gifts. But our text is verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is gifted by the Spirit of God. God, in saving you, has also gifted you. He has given you an ability. He has given you something to do, a ministry to fulfill. He has not only saved your soul and has delivered you to glory, but he has gifted you for service here. Sometimes more than one gift, but every Christian is gifted. And we receive this gift from God through the Spirit of God, really in the same way that we receive our salvation itself. We are redeemed from sin, and we are renewed in the image of God in true knowledge and righteousness and holiness. And as I preach this whole sermon on the gifts that God has given you, the one underlying unspoken assumption is that you are a Christian. And maybe even more specifically, that you are a Spirit-filled Christian, that you believe the gospel, and that you believe that the Bible is true, and that it is your guidebook for all of life, that you are a Spirit-filled believer. And if you are a Spirit-filled believer, because you have the Spirit of God, you have at least one gift, because we are saved in order to serve. We are equipped by God to serve one another in love. When we receive the Spirit of God, we receive the gifts of God as well. And our gifts, the way that God has gifted us, they're not like an attachment. That's my gift, see that? Our gifts are us. It is how God has uniquely made us. The Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. When you eat a double cheeseburger, where does that double cheeseburger go? It goes everywhere in your whole body, right? And if you have onions, it comes out your breath. But it's sort of the same way with spiritual gifts, if I can compare spiritual gifts to a double cheeseburger. But when you receive the Spirit of God, it is who you are. When you receive the gift of the Spirit, it is who you are. So when we look at the gifts of the Spirit, we don't say, well, we do, just to separate them. We say, well, the gifts is administration and preaching and speaking and encouragements and hospitality. But those are all descriptions of what? They're all descriptions of who you are. You are your gift, or you embody the gifts of the Spirit of God if you are a believer. So what I want to convince you of is when we exercise our spiritual gifts, we are being ourselves for the glory of God. when I'm going to encourage you to find a ministry and fulfill it, I'm not asking you to do something that's just attached. It's not really part of you. I'm asking you to be yourself for the glory of God. I'm asking you to manifest the gift that the Spirit of God has given you in loving service to the church around you. Now, you just heard the choir sing, and they can sing. And did you know there's a reason I'm not in the choir? The people who are in the choir, we didn't have to twist their arms and force them to do it. Just who they were. They can sing, and they want to share this gift with the church, and so they do. But I don't belong in the choir, and I can't sing. And every once in a while, when the sound people leave my mic on when the songs come, it's verified. But we are the conduit through which the Spirit of God is redeeming the world. We are, in the exercise of our spiritual gifts, whether it's teaching or serving, whatever it is, or praying, as we exercise our spiritual gifts, we are manifesting the Spirit of God for the world. And in particular, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our gifts are received. Again, notice the text. As we have received them. In verse 10, each has received a gift. We don't campaign for gifts. We don't go shopping for gifts. Gifts are given to us by God. They are part of who we are. Now, they can be recognized and developed and increased, but you can't exercise a gift that you do not have. You can't campaign for it. You can't beg and plead for it. Gifts are given sovereignly by God Himself, so we should not weep if we don't have a certain gift, but rather we should rejoice in the gift that we have been given, to recognize it, and then to exercise it for the good of the body of Christ, because the gifts of God follow the Spirit of God, as each has received a gift, or even in Romans, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Again, Paul reminds us that we do have gifts, but they differ from other people's. We don't have all the gifts, but as we have gifts that differ according to the grace of God, we should use them. So if we have the Spirit, if we are a Christian, we are gifted to serve. We have the ability and the mandate from God to serve one another with the spiritual gift that we have been given. And we can increase in our ability to use them. But if I can put it this way, to grow in grace is in some sense to grow in usefulness to the church and to the body of Christ. As we have received gifts, we are exercising them for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. And we are uniquely gifted by God, and you have a unique service to fulfill for His glory. I think I've said that 17 times already, haven't I? Let me give you an illustration, hopefully a memorable one, because having a gift from God in order to serve others in love for the glory of God is really, really good news. Because we, as Christians, we receive the love of God. The love of God is showered upon us. You know, the gifts and the favor and the blessings of God are just poured out upon us constantly as believers. We are His children, and He delights to love us, and He delights to come to us with blessing upon blessing. So we, like a water balloon, we receive this blessing from God. And what happens to the water balloon the more you fill it up? It gets stretched pretty thin and pretty thin. I'm receiving all this blessing of God. I'm receiving eternal love. I'm receiving grace. I'm receiving forgiveness, and I can hardly contain it. So God gives you a spiritual gift, and the exercise of your spiritual gift is something like this. You take that stretch to the max water balloon, and you throw it at your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it splashes blessing all over them. That's what I see. Spiritual gifts are like a double cheeseburger, and they're like a water balloon. But you get the picture. We have received so much from God, and He has graciously given an avenue to pour out that blessing upon other people. That's what spiritual gifts are. A blessing from God that allows us to be a blessing to other people. What a wonderful blessing that is. What good news it is. We are not worthless in the body of Christ. I remember, though, when I first came to Christ, or better, when He first came to me, I was a mess and I knew it. And I thought, man, God will forgive me and God will receive me. through Christ? And I says, well, what can I do in response? I says, well, God, here's my life. It's not worth much, but it's yours. Because I didn't think it was worth much. I didn't have anything to offer to God. But then he takes that soul crushed in spirit, and he breathes life into it. He breathes the Spirit of God. He breathes spiritual gifts. He breathes grace and forgiveness and love. And then that broken, empty balloon becomes filled. It becomes a blessing to other people. It's amazing what God can do to someone who is willing to serve him. One who willingly offers his life. So our gifts, they must be known as each has received the gift. Peter says, use it. This isn't that profound, is it? If you just read the text, I'm just translating it for you and saying the same thing that the text says over and over again. But to know ourselves is to know our spiritual gifts, how God has uniquely gifted us to serve others in love. So how do we discern our spiritual gifts? That's sort of step one. Those who read the last newsletter article, and I was tempted to say, can I have a show of hands here? But don't discourage me that way. But the last newsletter article talked about these spiritual gifts and how you can discern them. But let me just give you a primer. Self-assessment, right? If you are your gift, if you know yourself, you know your gift. So you need to look honestly at yourself and how God has uniquely made you, or even how God has uniquely remade you in his image to determine what your gifts really are. So what am I like? And what do I like? In fact, sort of to help you with this, we have a spiritual gifts inventory outside in the foyer that you can take and fill out, and it helps you in answering these questions to determine what might be your spiritual gifts and how you might be able to exercise them. So the first thing, self-assessment. How has God gifted me? Ask that question. How about past experience? What have you done in the past? And by this I mean, what have you done that has gone really well? And also, perhaps more importantly, what have you done that has gone really poorly? Okay, I don't have that one. I might have this one. So you need to just examine your past. What have you done well, or what have you done poorly? The counsel of other people. When other Christians come up to you and say, brother or sister, I've seen this in you, or I've seen that in you, and I would encourage you to do this or this or the other thing. Not because there's a desperate need for you to fill this position, but because I've seen gifts in you, in the way that you talk, in the way that you act, in the way that you think, in the way that you pray. I can see you doing this ministry. Sometimes we need the counsel of our brothers and sisters in Christ to have an accurate self-assessment. So your brothers and sisters may give you wisdom. So seek their counsel. Fourthly, try something. You don't know until you try, right? And I have a ministry opportunities list right in the bulletin for you. Wow, look at that, how it all fits together. I like it better when the Spirit of God ties it all together. I'm trying to tie all these things together on my own. But there's a ministry opportunities list. Maybe you could try one of those. But anyway, one way or the other, the text commands that we use our gift. It commands that we find a ministry and fulfill it. And these gifts, they come in various sizes, and they admit of degrees. The very first word in the text is kathos, which means as, or as you have received a measure of the gift of God, use it. Gifts don't come to you 100% full and complete. You are given a gift, and you need to exercise it and to strengthen it, just like you're given muscles, and you need to exercise it and strengthen it. So you need to strengthen your spiritual gifts. But don't despair of having a gift. Oh, I don't have that gift because I tried it. It didn't really work very well the first time. It may be that your gift needs a little more exercise. You need a little more preparation. I'd said earlier, in my great humility, I said that I couldn't sing. But I've always thought, just perhaps, I might have some latent singing gifts. You should hear me in the shower sometimes. In fact, one of the things that I do for entertainment is I watch these first-time singing auditions, and I just love it when everybody claps. So I'm going to sing you a solo. No, I'm not going to sing you a solo. But I wonder, maybe I can't sing because I've never tried. Maybe I should try. I've tried before. It hasn't gone that well. But who knows? Maybe if the music is really loud and no one can hear me, I can sing. But that's sort of the way it is with our spiritual gifts. We may not think that we have it at first, and it needs to be exercised and strengthened before you can actually see it in operation and exercise. I remember when preaching terrified me. In high school, I was painfully shy, and it was painfully evident. And the one thing that terrified me more than anything else was public speaking. And so God, saving me, says, I'm going to make you a preacher. And that absolutely terrified me to get up in front of people and to speak. But I grew in my ability to speak the Word of God, and it took 24 years. But gifts can come in seed form, that they need to be developed. So don't just say, well, I tried that, didn't work, never going to do that again. You need to develop your gifts, perhaps. But our gifts are given, and we have the reason for it. We are to use it to serve one another. Your gift comes from God, and your gift belongs to the church. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the church. God has said, I'm giving you, my son, my daughter, this gift so that you can be a blessing to the family. So I want you to use this gift as a blessing to the family. Your gift doesn't belong to you. It belongs to others in the church. And other people in the church need you to exercise your gift. And you need the gifts of other people. You need to enter into their giftedness. You need to benefit from their ministry, whether it's prayer or service or hospitality or teaching, whatever it might be. But we need each other. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. We need one another. Every Lone Ranger has a Tonto at the very least, right? But we need one another in the church. You need to exercise your gift. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's 1 Corinthians 12. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and we all need to exercise our gifts. But what happens if people in the church choose not to exercise their gift? I don't know, let's see what happens. Where's the preacher? Where's the choir? There's no one at the piano. There's no one at the organ. You'll probably say that's a little unfair because those are the evident gifts, right? Those are the ones that are obvious. But I wanted you to see that because when you don't exercise your gift, the same thing happens. Something is missing. Something isn't right in the church. I don't know what it is. Can't quite put my finger on it, but there's something. What would happen if everyone took this text to heart and everyone realized, hey, I have a gift and I'm going to exercise it for the good of the church. I'm going to use my gift for the glory of God. I'm going to serve my brothers and sisters in Christ. What would happen if we did that? What would happen in a church if everyone exercised their gifts? I don't know. Haven't seen it yet. But wouldn't you love to see it? One of the things that I want to see before I die, maybe two things that I want to see before I die. One, because I was born in Detroit, I want to see a church that is operating on all cylinders, where everyone knows who they are, knows how they're gifted, and uses it for the glory of God. I want to see that one day. And the other thing I want to see is I want to see revival. I want to see the Word of God in its power exercised in a massive way. I want to see those two things. And one of the indication that maybe revival is coming is when the church gets her act together. Right? Things begin in the household of God. And when we become the church, we become a blessing to the world. So what would happen if everyone in the church exercised their gift for the glory of God? I don't know, but let's find out together. Amen? Amen. Let's do that one again. Amen? Amen. Our gifts, faithfully used, display the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 12:7 again. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. One of the things, after I've preached and preached and preached, one of the things that is becoming increasingly precious to me is the grace of God. Because I realize how desperately I need it. Not just once for my ticket to glory, but I need it every day. I need the grace of God constantly. And according to this text, you, as you exercise your spiritual gifts, you manifest the Spirit to me. And as I exercise my gifts, I manifest the Spirit of God, the grace of God to you. We are reflecting the glory of God back and forth constantly as we exercise our spiritual gifts. And I thought to myself when I was choosing the sermon to preach, I thought, I want to preach on spiritual gifts. I want to preach on the Spirit of God. I want to preach on the gospel. I want to preach on Christ. And then I realized, if I'm preaching right on spiritual gifts, I am preaching the gospel. I am preaching the Spirit of God. This is how the Spirit of God becomes evident or becomes manifest. It is through us as we receive these gifts and exercise them in faith. It is in the exercise of these gifts that we can see Christ in other people. You are reflecting Christ to me, and I am reflecting Christ to you. I am pointing you to Christ, and you are pointing me to Christ as we exercise our spiritual gifts, like good stewards dispensing the grace of God in its various forms. That's what the New English Translation has for this text. Like good stewards dispensing the grace of God in its varied forms. So let me give you a profound sentence here. In a healthy, growing, serving church, the members are healthy, growing, and serving. That's what makes the church healthy, is the people. As they exercise their gifts, as they go deeper into the gospel. So we, every one of us, should be benefiting from the exercise of the gifts of other people in the church. And everybody in the church, in some sense, ought to be benefiting from our exercise of our gift in the church. So we should be feeding on and fulfilling some ministry in the church. And we should be benefiting from the gifts of others in the church. But what are some reasons that people don't exercise their spiritual gifts in the church? What are some of the excuses that we can raise to ourselves, or even that Satan can whisper in our ears? One, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. How can I use something that I don't know that I have? Well, what's the answer to that? Find out. Find out what your gift is. The Word of God says that you have one. Have you searched for it? How many of you, Christmas is past now, right? How many of you have some of those gifts that you haven't unopened yet? They're still sitting under the tree. No, you don't. If you have a gift, you unwrap it, right? Same thing here. If you have a gift from God, you unwrap it. So I want you to unwrap your gift. Find out what it is. Well, I just don't have the time. Whose time is it again? Whose time is it again? I don't take the time. I've been wrestling with this. I can't find the Word of God, but I'll just throw this out as a suggestion. Tithe your time in Christian service. Think about that. I can't give you chapter and verse, and it might not be biblical, so I probably shouldn't have said it, but we all have 24 hours a day, right? We always have time for the things that we put our most important priorities on. So we all have 24 hours a day. One of the ones that I used often was, I don't want to fail, so I don't want to try. I can prevent myself from failing by not trying. But you can't fulfill this verse by not trying. In fact, I don't want to fail, so I won't try. If you understand this verse aright, and you're not exercising your gift, you are failing already. Right? If everyone has the spiritual gifts, they need to exercise it. I don't want to. If we're honest with it, sometimes that's what it is. I'm a poor steward if I fail to distribute my master's wealth. He has given me this treasure so I can distribute it to others, but I'm going to keep it to myself. I don't know what I could do. No one has ever asked me to do anything. You know, I'm comfortable in the pews. Why would I'm fine here. Wow, we have a ministry opportunities list right in the bulletin. And I'm asking you, consider it. Consider using your gifts for the glory of God in these ways or other ways. Those ministry opportunities, this is just the first. I hope many will follow. where you have it listed. This is a possible ministry. Maybe God has gifted and fitted you for this one. Some people I've talked to said, I'm too young. I'm only in my teens, right? You only live once, and you're only young once, so I'm going to just live it up. I don't have to exercise my gifts in the church, do I? I'm just a young Christian. I'm a professing Christian, but yes, you do. If you have the Spirit of God, you have a gift from God. And the church needs you. And the church needs your gifts. The church needs even your wisdom and insight. Well, I'm old. My day of service is past, isn't it? Your day of service is over the day you entered glory. And you're useful till that time. So find something to do and do it for the glory of God. Everyone has gifts, and we should use them for the glory of God. So take a deep breath. I'm talking to myself. And remember, if God has saved you, God has gifted you. If you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the ability to serve your brothers and sisters in love in some way. It doesn't have to be a public ministry of the church even. I know that's what I'm sort of pushing for, but there are many gifts that you can exercise and no one around you will ever know it. You can send cards to a friend. You can pray for the needs of the church. There are a thousand things that you can do that no one will ever see, no one will ever notice. But you have a gift and you are to exercise it for the glory of God and for the good of the church. What would it be like if everyone in the church heard this text and actually heeded this text and used their gifts for the glory of God and the church? I don't know, but let's find out together. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come to us with blessing upon blessing, and you've showered grace upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us an avenue to have this grace and this blessing spill out over other people. So, Lord, help us to enter into the joy of our Lord by serving the church in love with the spiritual gifts that you have given to us. Help us to do it with great joy, and even, Lord, with great fruitfulness, so that we could see together a church that is operating on all eight cylinders. And so that we one day also can see revival in our land again, where people would see you and know you and rejoice in you and enter into the joy of the Lord together. So bless us, Lord, as a church, as your people, for we have received your Spirit. Help us to rejoice in the spiritual gifts that we have been given. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.